This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, cold. I mean, frankly, cold. And that, I'm fine.
We did. We had a little bit of a spell of winter this past week, and it was marvelous. We had
you
some.
You thought
ice.
It was marvelous?
Well, as long as it's see, I can say that because it's going away.
Yeah, that's why.
And so today it's going to be in the 60s, I think. And so it's kind of like when grandparents have the children. It's marvelous. You give them all the candy and the cookies because you know that you're going to send them home. And you don't have to keep them.
Sometimes at my house, they don't go home.
Well,
so what
different.
Are you talking about? They're going home.
That's something you know nothing about.
That's right. I mean, sometimes they don't. They've been known to stay for 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh,
have.
Boy. Nonstop, 24/7?
Sometimes they do.
That has to get very rambunctious.
They are rambunctious. But they have a lot of fun.
Well, and then when they go home, you finally take a nap.
I do. Sometimes I take one while they're there. I'll say, Mimi needs a 5-minute nap.
5 minutes?
Yeah, if I can just have 5 minutes, I'm okay.
Oh, Lord, I need like 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, no, you couldn't do that with all those little kids there.
They'll wake you up.
Yes, they would.
Oh, wow. Well, it's getting nicer, and so we don't have to worry about the snow from last week. So I think that's gone.
Yeah, and you know, it was snowing in Abilene. It was snowing in Andrews.
Yes.
All around us.
It's too much.
And then in Odessa, they sent people home that were working outside, and it was sleeting.
Yes.
But it didn't sleet over here.
No.
I didn't understand that.
I had heard that it was really drastic weather. There was ice. We had a hard freeze. What was it, Thursday night into Friday?
Yes.
And so, my goodness, it was a kind of a rude awakening because it had been so nice for so long. But as long as it's just a couple of days and then it gets back to like 60s and 70s, I'm okay with it.
Well, the other morning, you know, Friday morning, I believe it was 23.
I think it was. Yeah. It
Don't
was
you think
very,
that's
very
a little cold?
It's excessive.
I thought it was excessive.
It's almost like living at the North Pole.
Yes.
It's what it's like to be Santa Claus.
And I was fixing to leave town.
Yeah.
I said, man, I can't do this.
You're going to go down to the Caribbean or
that's
something.
That's right. I said, man, I need to get on a fast plane or a fast boat. It doesn't matter which.
Exactly. As long as it's gone, though, we'll take it.
That's right. It was fast. It came in, it left, and we're okay.
Yeah. And so now before we know it, it'll be more like spring, and then it'll feel like 110.
What are you talking about, Kemosabe? I mean, fixing to be like spring here, out of your mind.
We're a few days away from Christmas. I'm already hoping into like 100 temperatures.
Yeah, I mean, you're already thinking, oh, it's going right into spring.
I know. I'm just skipping right over the entire calendar.
You're skipping December and January, I think. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. So let's give out the phone number.
I think maybe we should do that. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is all about making money. This is all about planning your retirement through safe investments, as safe as it can possibly be, with relatively low risk. And it's all part of a large plan. And we do it one investment at a time. We're talking about investing in life insurance policies. And this was a really big week for you over there, isn't it?
Well, you know, lately we've had a lot of them. But this week we had a policy come in. Hamlin, and we just did it in June 30th.
Really?
We had just done it. It's a 24-month policy. It matured in 5 months. There was two of them. The man had two policies.
So that came in 19 months early.
We just got the paper done. They just got all the paperwork done.
The ink is barely dry.
It is barely dry.
And people are already making money.
They did make some money.
How much, on average, did somebody make in this policy?
Well, I don't know what the average was because I don't remember what everybody put in. Mm-hmm. But there was a total. Let me tell you what the total was in profit. The profit was $124,700.
Wow.
Yes. And as I told you, it was $670,000, I believe. No, it was $675,000.
So people made $124,000 in 5 months.
Uh-huh. $124,000 in 5 months. It's really a good return.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, it's a great return.
And it was not expected. It was this was a 24-month policy, you said, and it came in five. What kind of cancer, first of all, did he have?
Okay, the man had stage 4 colon cancer, and it went to the lungs and the bones. So you can see how it spread.
Yeah.
And that was another reason I bought it. You know, when I see that something spread, I always want those policies.
Mm-hmm.
So it had metastasized to the lung and the bones.
Wow. And it moved fast.
It moved fast, and the doctors all said on this report he's going to live 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And by golly, he lived 5 months.
And so when you look at, and I know you look at a lot of policies, and so—
A lot, every day.
You may not remember the specifics, but do you remember looking at this one and seeing something that stood out? Was it the fact that it was already spreading, or—
Yes, that's it. Okay. When you see that it's already spread— You know, I thought the doctors might be wrong. I could be wrong, of course. Mm-hmm. But when I see that it's went to the bones and when it's went to your lungs,
yeah,
I don't think you're going to live long.
Yeah.
Because it's a long way from your colon to your lungs and your bones.
That means it's traveled a lot.
It has traveled a lot.
And so anytime cancer is moving, it shows that it's very aggressive.
It is aggressive. It wasn't a slow-moving cancer. It wasn't the second go-around. This is his first go-around.
Oh, really?
And this guy was 55 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's young.
We've had an awful lot of young guys pass away lately.
Wow.
Yeah. You know? And it all goes back to that. They're not catching it soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Colon cancer, you know, is one of the deadliest cancers on earth.
Yeah.
And you have to catch it early.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, it will spread quickly.
Do they have any idea how long he had had it before? And you may not even have access to this information. I don't know.
Not this morning, I don't. On Saturday morning, I don't know all that. No. I'd have to go look it up.
So they do have that information. That information is available somewhere.
It will. Oh, yeah. When we did the life expectancy, mm-hmm. the doctor's report told us when it started, what year it started. And how soon it went to the bone, how soon it went to the lungs.
Okay.
So I had all that information available.
Well, I guess the thing I'm getting to is the fact that when we talk about investing in life insurance policies, these aren't just random guesses. These are very well researched. A lot of information is on every single policy.
But they're still wrong lots of times. That's yeah. what amazes me is, you know, I look at it and say, oh, no, this guy's going to live. I looked at one this week. They said the man's going to live 3 years.
3 years?
And I go, I don't believe that. He's too sick to live 3 years.
Really?
But sometimes they look at it a different way than I do, of course. Uh-huh.
Well, sure. I mean, they're medical doctors.
They are medical doctors.
But you've also been studying these things in detail for many, many years.
I know. And I'm looking at something different than what they're looking at.
Yeah.
I'm always looking to see if it's spread, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
How long has he had it? Is he obese? Does he have other things going with it? Is he diabetic? You know, and there's a lot of things that affect this.
Yeah.
You know, as to whether you can make a comeback, whether you can survive it. And I look to see how many doses of radiation he's had, how many different kinds of chemo, and when are they still doing chemo right now?
Mm-hmm.
So those are all real important facts.
Do you think it's possible sometimes that maybe doctors, they see so many of this and they're so, involved in each case, it's almost like not being able to see the forest for the trees. Maybe they sort of glaze over a little bit and miss some key things and you're looking at it with fresh eyes?
I don't know. That could be it. I mean, they're doing so many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and lots of times patients will say, I'm not doing any more treatment. I can't stand any more chemo. I'm going to do alternate medicine. Now, I don't remember this guy doing any alternate medicine, but he might have. But a lot of times, that's what kills him.
And when you say alternate medicine, we're talking about...
Going to Mexico or South America or China, wherever,
mm-hmm.
and doing the oil treatments or the orange juice treatment or all those different ones.
Yeah.
They have a tomato juice one, too.
Oh, do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So when people start doing those types of things, instead of what we know works, chemo, radiation, things like that, in essence, it sounds like what they're doing is, say they go someplace, say they go to China for 6 months.
Yeah.
And they're gone, and then they decide that didn't work, and then they come back. Now, all of a sudden, they've wasted 6 months where that cancer has had a chance to grow, and that's what makes it attractive, right?
Yeah, because you know that they've lost all that time. The other thing is, if they're not taking all the chemo drugs, there's 50 kinds of chemo drugs.
Oh, really?
Some of them are bad, but a lot of them will not affect you. Your hair won't fall out and all this other. But lots of times people stop the treatment. They say, the treatment's so bad, I don't feel good, I don't feel like doing it. Just count me out.
Wow, and then they, at that point, they've just given up.
I think they have, and when I see all this where they've stopped the treatment, I know that they're not going to live hardly any time.
Yeah.
And I try to buy those really quick.
I would imagine also that probably indicates that that somebody's will is gone. And
yes.
So they say all the time that it has a lot to do with your will and your attitude.
Attitude is everything.
Yeah. And if somebody gives up and says, okay, I'm not going to do any more treatments, that kind of, you know, it leads to their state of mind.
And it upsets the doctors so bad. They go, here I am trying to save your life, and you've decided that it's too much chemo, it's making you sick at your stomach, you don't feel well, you're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Or lots of times they just say, we're going to do alternate medicine, or we're not doing anything. That's all we're going to do.
Yeah.
So you never know.
And so when a patient gives up, I mean, obviously everybody's goal is for somebody who is diagnosed with cancer to go ahead, get the right treatments, survive, and go on to live a long, healthy
life.
That's
right. And a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them don't because of what they desire to do.
Yeah. And at some point, you know, that diagnosis comes in and they get to that point where, okay, we understand what's going to happen. The patient is not necessarily going to survive, and they know that. The doctors know that. And then reality sets in. And then that's when people get to that point where it's like, I need to either sell my policy or do something. I need to make some real hard decisions. And then that's where you come in, because that's where people are at a crossroads.
That's right. They're at a crossroads. They've got to decide, do we want to go for all the treatment in the world? Or do we want to settle with our family and make sure the money's going to go to them?
Yeah.
Or, you know, spend the money on treatment. You can do it either way.
Yeah.
How much
are cancer treatments usually?
$10,000 a month.
Wow. That's a lot.
But what I've had lately is people, you know, like we had one last week. They said, this guy has got 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a new report. The new report said he ain't going to live but 3 months.
Really?
Yeah, and we're just shocked. We don't know what to think.
Well, that's a big difference.
It's such a big difference. We're really surveying it. We don't know, and he doesn't know what to do. He might not even sell the policy at this point.
Wow. So
if he really doesn't have it 3 months.
What would he, and I know the situation is different with everybody, but in a situation like this, I'm sure you've seen something similar in the past. What happens when people get close to what the doctors say is the end, as opposed to a couple of years?
Well, they may say, you know, there's no use to even sell it. I'm not going to be here but just a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of them say, we need to get it done in a hurry.
Yeah.
So you never know.
So everybody's a little bit different.
Everybody's different. Everybody's different about what their desires are, what uh-huh. they want to finish up on this earth.
Yeah.
You know? And, but when it goes from 3 years to 3 months, we question it hard.
Wow.
In fact, I want another opinion.
Yeah.
Before I would buy it.
Does it make you kind of lean towards bidding a little more aggressively for it, or does it kind of, I'm not really sure, this is
no,
really unreliable.
I'm not going to go aggressive because he may change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, even after he sells it to us, he's got 16 days.
Yeah.
And he could change his mind altogether.
So what happens in those 16 days?
We don't know. We don't know what they're doing. They're talking to their family, they're thinking about it, and they may pull it.
Okay.
And then like this week, I had somebody, we bid a policy back in June. They turned us down. Now they're back.
Really?
They're back wanting us to buy it. Same price. They're not asking us to discount or anything.
So what do you do in that situation?
We're gonna look at it again and look at how much sicker they might be in that last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we want to rebid it with them.
Does that affect your bid? Maybe it's not quite as aggressive? Or
yeah, it won't be as aggressive probably because they came and didn't sell it to us first time. You know, that always makes me kind of leery.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that probably sends up some kind of a red flag, especially when it comes back again and they're not asking for anything more. So it tells me
nobody bought it.
Yes.
Nobody went for their deal.
And they're probably, I'm just assuming here because I'm on the outside looking in, I'm assuming that would also send up some kind of a message that says they're getting desperate, they're getting sicker.
And they, they thought when they didn't sell it to us, somebody would buy it.
Uh-huh.
But we must have given them the top dollar because now they're back.
All right.
You know?
And so then you say you go ahead and get this policy. During those 16 days when they could rescind and take it back, do you go ahead and fill it or do you just hang on to it until it's like for sure it's a done deal? What's happening in those 16 days?
Well, during that 16 days, we've probably already put it out to our investors.
Okay.
So, but it's on hold. We've already told them they could rescind.
All right.
So, if it does, we just put our money back in our clients' bank accounts.
So, if they take it back, there's no harm, no foul.
No, except the paperwork is lost, and we spent a lot of wasted time. That's the deal. We've wasted all that time on lawyers and everything else.
As long as nobody's lost money in that process.
No, nobody will lose. Okay. We just have to go back to square one, start over.
Yeah. Find another policy to invest in.
That's right, find another policy.
And when we say find a policy, it sounds like there's more investors than there are policies.
There are right now. Right now is one of those tough times when we've got lots of clients needing policies. We're putting them in as quick as possible. But, you know, like this week we're doing $2
million.
Wow. Well, I need to be doing $5 million.
See, I would imagine that's probably a good place to be, which means that the market is hot right now for policies.
It is. Everybody is buying policies. All the investment companies are buying them here at the end of the year like us.
Yeah.
And ours are ready to fill. We're not buying them on speculation.
Uh-uh.
Sometimes they buy them on speculation. We're not buying spec.
These things are ready to go and ready to keep rolling and making some more money.
That's right. And they're good policies. We've got better policies than we've ever had in our life.
Really?
I mean, they are good. Well, you know how many's come due this year.
A lot.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a very aggressive year for
it's
policies
been very,
coming
very, very aggressive. Now, millions and millions have matured.
Now, this is not normal for past years. Last year was a little slower.
I mean, and lots of times they come in on time. This year, almost all of them that have matured, other than two, every one of them has been early.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, go and look at that up. You know, see for yourself what we're making people.
Is it a matter of just people are sicker when they decide to sell?
I think this year they are. Uh-huh. I think we have waited later for them to come in. Uh-huh. And therefore, they're really sick time they get there. As you know, we've had two that died before we ever got the paperwork done.
Yeah.
And so we had to redo that.
This has been a fantastic year for growth.
Growth has been great. It really has been very good.
Oh. And for those who are not familiar, the way the process works is when somebody does get diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and those are the only types of policies that you bid on.
It's the only ones we want to bid on.
So when somebody is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, they want to sell their policy, like you were saying, for a number of reasons, to sell their estate, or they want to use some of the money for cancer treatments because they're so expensive. So if that situation happens, they need somebody there to buy the policy, and then you're bidding against other companies. So it's not like anybody's going in and taking anything away from a policyholder or anything like that. This benefits the seller because
right.
They need that money.
And they come to us because they need the money.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't need the money, they wouldn't come to us.
Yeah.
But years ago, you know, people started doing this, and now it's really popular. When people have got a problem, they sell the life insurance policy. It's the first thing they think of.
Wow, and it benefits them, and then all of a sudden, they get their money, they get paid.
They get paid up front, right then. We don't make them wait.
Okay, so once that happens, now all of a sudden the policy becomes yours, and it becomes at this point a business transaction, an investment opportunity. And so that's where you go out and try to fill these things.
That's exactly right. We fill them up just as fast as we can,
mm-hmm.
which is fast. We can fill a policy in about a week.
Wow.
And that's with us having to wait on everybody to get their signed contracts back to get a yes in or whatever they need to do.
So I would imagine your investors, when they receive the notice, hey, this X number of policy is here, would you like in? And I would imagine that you probably get the paperwork back in a big hurry.
Yes, usually 2 days I have the paperwork back, and we're ready to send it in to Nevada Trust. Remember, everything has to go to the bank, and everything that we do goes through that bank. And anything we're going to do ourselves.
And that's a good thing, because
I think so too.
I think maybe a lot of people don't know always how much freedom their investor in other avenues, how much freedom they actually have to do whatever they want to with your money.
That's right. They don't realize that they are in charge of that person's money, and we're not. The bank is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
The bank, you know, makes the premium payment for us. They pay the people when the policy matures, and that keeps it out of our hands. We don't do any of that.
And it also lessens the chances of irresponsible behavior.
Absolutely.
Because when people, you know, there are times we hear about it all the time in the news that, you know, an investment broker may go a little crazy and do some irresponsible things, whether they go shopping or make bad investments.
They do. We read about New Yorkers doing it. Those brokers up there sometimes, they go wild.
Yeah.
And they take the client's money and go have a spending spree.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we have the bank handle the money. The bank is not going to screw with their money, let me tell you.
Yeah. It's a very buttoned up, very nice procedure.
That's right. And we do it that way. We've done it that way all these years. We've never let a client make money check out to us.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps everybody honest.
Nobody ever writes a check to Faye Bagby.
No, we don't allow it.
All right. So once the policy is filled, then at that point, what happens?
Well, once the policy's filled, a copy of the contracts, the spreadsheet goes to Nevada Trust.
Mm-hmm.
So they know who's going to get paid, how much they're going to make. And they're ready when it matures, and they just look and see how much money put in everybody's account.
So at that point, the investor is just, they wait for the policy to mature.
That's all they have to do. And they may have 5, they may have 10.
Mm-hmm.
Most of ours have a lot of policies.
Yeah.
And that way, there's something maturing all the time. And everybody's had a multiple maturities this year. And I can't tell you who all it is without going and looking to see how many maturities they've had.
Sure.
I don't know who's had the most.
So most people invest in multiple policies so that things are always turning over, say, on average, every couple of months. I know some come in early, some come in late. But
yeah, this year, I think the average is 7 policies.
Wow. See, there's always movement.
Yes, there is.
And there's always things happening. So the reason we bring all this up is because it's all part of a larger plan. This is not the type of investment where most people come in and they invest once and they get out.
No. These almost 90% are all IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to need this money for several years. Also, they're not paying taxes yet.
Yeah.
They don't have to pay taxes on this till they're 70 and a half.
As long as we're rolling money over, there's no taxes, no fee. People don't have to worry about any of that.
No. And when they move money to us, there's not any fees involved. You know, when we do a rollover of an IRA, there's no fees.
Mm-hmm.
We don't charge for that.
See, this is the smart way to do it, because you want to avoid fees. You want to avoid taxes as much as possible. And so this is all part of the greater plan. This is all part of planning out for retirement. You want to make sure that you have enough money. And this is really the safest way to do it, because the risks are relatively low.
I think the risks are relatively low. There's risk in everything you do.
Sure.
And this is not without risk. But the biggest risk is it's going to go over.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes over, you have to be able to pay $50,000 or $100,000 or $3.
Mm-hmm. And by go over, it means what?
In other words, the policy did not mature on time, so you're going to have to pay premiums.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the total premium, let's say it's a $1 million policy, it might be $50,000. But you've got probably 30 people in it, or 20 people. So it's still just a little bitty amount.
So each of those, say 30 people, pay their share of the premium.
That's right. And it might be $300, might be $100.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we had one, you know, the first of the month, it was $74 a person. Well, that's it's not even hardly worth doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's so small.
So when people have to pay the premiums if it does go over, are we talking about a monthly payment or a yearly?
No, it'll be an annual premium usually.
Okay.
If it's real small, it's got to be annual.
Yeah.
Because it's too small to write a monthly check.
All right. So when say and we'll say a minimum investment is $100,000. Say it's 20. Say it's 20 months.
20%.
20%. And if you have to pay, say let's just go
$300.
$300.
Yeah.
It's a very small percentage of that profit that you're having to pay.
That's right. And we've only got two old policies that still have high premiums. We're almost out of the woods.
Yeah. And you no longer, and that's worth bringing up, too, because you no longer bid on policies of elderly folks.
No, we do not do. We love elderly people. We just don't want to buy their life insurance policies. And we don't want to give me a heartburn over this deal. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, heartburn is no good when you're doing investments.
No, it's not. So, no, we're not going to do any. Mm-hmm. I don't do 90-year-olds. Yeah. I don't do 94-year-olds. I love them, but I'm not going to buy their policies.
Sure, yeah.
I've already been there. I did that.
Yeah, and you got burned because...
I got burned very badly because they did not mature. Yeah. They were old, but they weren't sick.
Yeah, and there's a big difference.
And the people flat lied to me.
Oh.
Oh, Faye, you take and buy these policies for your clients, man, you're going to be home free.
Yeah.
I've still got the lantern now.
Yeah.
I've had that lantern now a long time.
Wow. So what was it about those policies? What's changed? I know you don't bid on elderly policies anymore, but when you look at a policy, you don't take anybody's word for it. Nobody can come to you anymore and say, Faye, trust me, this is great.
No, we're not going to do that ever again.
Uh-uh.
It's like when Robert Preston... You know, did the story, you know, the Music Man, mm-hmm. where he told all those kids he's buying all those instruments, remember?
Yeah.
At the end of the school year, they didn't have any instruments, did they?
No.
His word wasn't very good.
Uh-uh.
So, no, we don't do that. And they're not going to sell us some shiny instrument. That ain't going to happen.
So what are you looking at? For somebody who's never been there before, how do they know that this is a great investment? Because we're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about people's retirement.
That's right.
And nobody wants to say, trust me,
no,
Bob.
We would never say that. What we say is, here's the facts, the figures from the experts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have expert doctors who do this. And they're the ones that come and say, we've reviewed all the medical on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how many months we think he's going to live. And remember, if it's over a million, we've got two opinions.
Okay.
So the experts give us opinions, not Faye Bagby.
So you've got two opinions from experts, which is fantastic. But then you've got your eyes. It's a third set of eyes that are going over all these policies. And with all the experience that you've had, there are certain things that you look for. There are certain things that send up red flags that make you run. Because not every policy that comes across your desk is worth bidding on.
Well, and I had one this week. It looked so good on the outside. And I got it and I was reading. And finally it said, there's no sign of cancer at this time. Well, heck, we can't buy that. He had cancer, but he does not have it now. And they put it right in the middle. So if a person wasn't reading that whole thing, they might have missed it.
So somebody easily could have glanced over that and missed the details.
They said, oh, it's such a good policy, blah, blah, at the front. We'll just buy it.
And so at no point have you found yourself in a situation where, I'm just going to kind of guess or
no,
glance over this.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to read every word of their illness. And when we get to the middle... If it says there is no sign of cancer at this time, just tear it up. Forget it. It ain't going to happen.
Not even going to bid on it. And so when that happens, it's not that your investors, they're not out anything. They benefit from this because
they're not out a dime. We haven't closed.
Right. So they know that this is a whatever investments come across for them to invest in, they know that it's solid already.
And they know that I've given it to them to read after I read it.
Yeah.
And it tells you it's bad, it's progressing, uh-huh. and it's not going away.
And those are the types of cancers that you're looking for, the ones that are aggressive. And like we say, at this point, by the time it gets to the point where it's available to invest in, the policyholder already has their money. So they're free and clear, and they're doing what they need to do with it. So it becomes a business transaction. And so when people look at these things, because I, and I imagine probably many of your investors, are not trained. We're not medical experts. We haven't been looking at this for years like you have. So do people look at it and go, I don't understand any of this?
They don't have to do that. They can look at what the doctor says. Take the doctor's word.
Are we talking about plain English or are we like doctor speak?
I think it's pretty plain. The only thing is sometimes when they describe the cancer, it's complicated. Right. But other than that, it tells you right out, this is the kind of cancer they've got. This is how many treatments they've had. This is what the treatments are. It tells you everything's going to happen to them.
So these reports are understandable by lay people?
I think they are.
All right.
So I think you have to concentrate, though.
See, that's why I have trouble. I can't concentrate.
Okay, well, you couldn't read these darn things, then.
If a cat goes by or a shiny object, I'm out.
Uh-oh. Okay, forget that.
How long does it take an average person to, like me or an investor, a non-trained person, how long does it take somebody to read over a policy? Is it like a 5 minutes or
days? Well, they should take 30 minutes.
Okay, so it's not that long.
No, because they need to read it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And like with me, I may spend an hour, 2 hours on it.
Yeah.
You know? It depends if it's something I've done before. I recognize that kind of cancer. I recognize all the treatments they have. It won't take long.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's one that I'm not familiar with, I'm going to sit down and read that thing every way but loose till I understand exactly what the doctor said, what he's telling me.
Have you ever had to read a report and then pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I don't understand what this is. What is this gobbly
mess? I have done it
mess?
Before. I've called Fasano before because they are the experts on cancer.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started this, I asked them to tell me more about pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So now I really understand pancreatic cancer and I'm always ready to go.
Right. You don't need to know all the technical terms. You don't need to know all the treatments. That's the doctor's job. You just need to understand what the doctors are saying in these reports.
That's right. And with Fasano, what I learned about pancreatic cancer, if it's close to the vein, it's inoperable. That's what you have to know.
Really?
Otherwise, they'll make it 2 years. But if they can't operate and it's close to the vein, they're going to last about 9 months.
Oh, wow.
Maybe less. So that's how aggressive it is. That's what you have to know about.
Oh, my goodness. And then inside these reports, there's a real handy-dandy thing you refer to all the time is page 14.
That's right. Page 14 is very important to me and to them both because it tells me who the person is, what kind of cancer they've got, what the rating of the life insurance company is, and that's really important. And it tells me what the face amount, what they invested, if it goes over, what it's going to cost them, and what percent they're going to make. Everything is lined up on that page.
Okay. So everybody has every information that they could ever want to know about the policyholder so they know for themselves what they're investing in. So one of the risks is that we talked about a minute ago is that the policy could go over.
That's right. That can happen. That's the biggest risk.
I mean, with any investment or anything, really, you get up across the street, there are risks involved.
Absolutely. And with this, there is risk.
And one of them is that it may go over.
That's right.
However, there's two more.
That's right. The second one is it's not liquid during that time.
Mm-hmm.
If you have stored in any way and you said, well, I've got $300,000 in the bank and you have a medical emergency and you come to me and say, Faye, that $50,000 we gave you, I need it back. Now, I know right then the jig is up.
That is not going to happen. So
it's going to happen.
People know going into it that, hey, if anything happens, you cannot have this investment back until the policy matures. When it matures, you can have it all day long.
Absolutely.
But while it's still active.
As long as they're alive, you're not going to get your money.
You're not going to get
it. But then as soon as they pass away, yes, you can have your money.
Mm-hmm. And so there are certain requirements to make sure that people are in a situation where they don't need to come to you and say, hey, I've had an emergency. I need this back. So you want to make sure that people have other assets.
I want to make sure they have emergency money. I want to make sure they have another IRA or money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have emergency money. If you don't, we can't do business with you. We're not going to.
Yeah.
So we check all that to make sure these people really have what they say.
And that is really to protect the investor from themselves.
That's right, to protect them from themselves, because if they come up and they say, Faye, I need that $50,000, I go, is that all you have? If they say yes, I said, you knew better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is not right.
Yeah. So so when a policy goes over, you have a plan B for if it does, people pay the premiums, no big deal, and you move on.
That's exactly right.
Very small percentage. If to make sure that nobody has to come to you and say, hey, Faye, I'm out of money, I've had an emergency, you make sure that they've got plenty of other assets going in, that's how you combat that. What's the third risk?
The third risk, what if a life insurance company ever went under?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't ever had one in Texas, but it could happen.
Right.
Something drastic could go wrong. So that is your third risk.
So what's plan B if that happens?
If that happens, the state board has a Texas Guarantee Fund, and they would come in and put up the money to save the policyholders.
So although we have to disclose it as a risk,
yeah,
if it happens, the odds of it happening are so small, and if it does, there is a plan B, and everybody will be fine.
That's right. There is money there to cover them.
What else? What are we missing?
That's
There's
got
to be something
There's
else.
Just three.
That's it?
There's three. That's enough.
All right. What about fees? There's got to be fees.
There is fees. The banks charge $250 a year, and if it's over at Bank of Utah, they charge $350 a year.
That's it?
That's it.
What? It seems like a very low-risk investment.
I think it is.
That's
just my opinion.
A rather inexpensive investment.
That's right.
Because
$250 a year, you could spend that much on anything.
Oh, sure. And I mean, the last thing you want to do is have an investment and then have all your profits sucked up in fees.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of the brokers charge 1%.
Yes.
They have fees for everything,
yeah.
But we don't.
No. All right. Well, then that's brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring right next to Ivy Cottage. I thank the Christmas tree store.
And the website, obviously, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can go there. You can see hardcore facts, real numbers of what people have been making. You can read testimonials and see from real investors how the process works. Get some feedback from real people who have been through the process before. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, you start getting into trivia. And we've got bucket lists. You've got things for us to go see, things for us to do, neat little trivia facts that we didn't know about. What are we talking about today?
Well, today, it's something you can go see.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Jacob's Well. Yes, Jacob's Well. Now, this is a perennial spring. It's in the Texas Hill Country down by Wimberley. Okay? And it is Cypress Creek. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Cypress Creek.
Mm.
It's a 12-foot in diameter mouth of this spring. Okay? 12-foot in diameter. It's a popular swimming spot for the local landowners and other people, really. Their properties adjoin Cypress Creek. From the opening of the creek bed, Jacob's Well Cave descends vertically for about 30 foot. Then it continues downward at an angle through a series of silted chambers separated by narrow restrictions. And I'm telling you, that is true. Finally, you reach an average depth of 120 feet.
Whoa.
I mean, this is a major, major deal. Until the modern era, the Trinity Aquifer was the artesian spring water gushed up there. In 1924, it was gushing at 175 gallons per second.
Oh, wow.
Coming out of that thing.
That's a lot. Per second?
Per second. And due to development area, the level of the Trinity Aquifer has dropped, affecting the flow of the water through this thing. Now, you can go and swim there, but unless you're a licensed diver, you cannot dive in this thing.
Wow.
Because we've had eight people met their death in it.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, because it's a mighty water deal. It's a cave.
It can be dangerous.
It's very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. Now, you can swim on the water. You're fine, but not to go down in the cave. To dive.
Yeah.
You have to be a licensed diver to do it. But it's a magnificent place to go. It's down in the hill country. As I said, it's by Wimberley. And as I said, the water level dropped and it stopped flowing in 2000.
Mm.
It happened again in 2008. So the county purchased 50 acres of land around it to protect it. They don't want any development because, you know, it's an artesian spring. It's one of our wonders of Texas.
Yeah.
And an additional now 31 acres has been added to it by the Wimberley Valley Watershed Association. And it's been explored. It's been mapped by cave divers. It's consisting of two principal conduits down there. And one measures 4,500 feet from the surface. And a secondary one extends 1,000 feet in length from the point where it diverges from the main shift.
Really?
So it's a wonder in Texas to have a cave that has all this water in it.
Yeah.
That has this natural artesian spring that flows.
That has to be a sight to see.
It is. And it's been flowing for many, many years. As I said, in 1924, 170 million gallons for every 24 seconds.
That's insane.
It is insane. It's a beautiful thing to see. So many people have seen it. But if you're swimming, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a diver, you better know what you're doing. You don't want to go down 130 foot.
And you said eight people have
died there, yes.
Wow.
They weren't experienced divers.
Yeah.
And people think they can do it when they can't.
Sure.
And you have to be certified and know what you're doing. And you should always have a diving instructor, I think, with you.
Yeah.
But they are protecting these springs. You know, they've bought all this land around it now, which is really good.
Yeah, because, I mean, the last thing they want to do is take something that may be diminished and have somebody come in and do man-made things.
Oh, yeah.
To take it away.
Yeah, and what if they were able to develop around it? It'd ruin the whole thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And this water would drop probably again.
Yeah.
And it's dropped twice, once in 2000, then 8 years later in 2008.
Does it recover?
It did recover, but never what it was in 24.
Yeah.
Now, there's a small gushing of water at the top, but it's not, you know, 6 foot in there.
Yeah.
Like it used to be.
Yeah.
And people, you know, took many, many pictures of this.
I'm sure.
When it was really, really something.
Yeah.
And still great to swim in. You know, it's fabulous water. It's artesian water.
It's got to be almost like paradise.
I think it would be. Coming up from there, it's a beautiful sight to see.
Yeah.
But they don't want a lot of tourists down there.
Oh, sure.
Because if that land was ever sold, you know, you know what they'd do.
Oh, they'd develop on it.
They'd develop the dadgum thing and ruin it completely.
Yes, and then it's totally gone. You can't get that back.
No. So it's one of our Texas wonders that everybody should see, but you don't want to be diving in it.
Yeah, definitely not.
But to swim, it'd be fine.
Go and enjoy it and enjoy it from afar. Just don't dive and swim.
That's right. No,
or
don't
dive.
You don't do any diving because it is dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, it's 130 feet down there.
That's a lot.
Can you imagine going down that far?
No, I can't.
And it's in a cave. This creek goes into a cave. Can you imagine?
That's just got to be one of those beautiful things, because you're not going to drive by something like this
in the
car and just look over and say, oh, that's pretty. No, you have to go to this, and you have to experience the whole thing.
You have to look at Jacob's Well.
Yeah.
But it's one of our Texas wonders.
Wow. It's now on my bucket list of things to do.
All right. I want you to get that on your list. I've got a lot of things in coming months to teach you where you'll know things to see in Texas.
My list is going to outlive me, I'm afraid.
Oh, my gosh. It may.
Yeah.
It'll take a while to do all this stuff in Texas.
Well, there is so much to do here. I mean, it's the square footage and the mileage that you'd have to cover is so massive because Texas is so big.
It is so big.
And there's so many different things, and they're all over the place. And no matter what region of the state somebody is in, there is something close by.
There is something to look at all times. It's not like you have to leave the state.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have to go anywhere. You can just explore Texas, and that'll take a long time.
Yeah, it will.
And it's a beautiful state.
I love it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
Now, we talk about these investments in life insurance policies. Put together the big picture, because I know sometimes we get zeroed in on these policies and invest and then wait and then it matures and then you get paid and then reinvest. Zoom back out a little bit. How does this big picture work? How does it all fall into place?
Well, first of all, you've got people that need to retire. And so they're working on their retirement plan. So they come to us, we get together, and we work out a plan. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, you're going to retire in 5 years, 4 years. And I've got people now saying, I'm going to move it up. I want to retire early, you know. And they do lots of times. Mm-hmm. And we've had, you know, a lot of people retired last year. We're going to have more retired this year. Everybody's getting older.
Yeah.
And I had some people come to me this week and said, Faye, we came to you 3 or 4 years ago. And they procrastinated till right now. Mm-hmm. But now you can see he's going to retire in 1 year. So now he wants to put money with me and get it started before he retires.
So wait a minute. He started talking to you
3 or 4 years ago.
And he's just now doing his first investment? What took so long?
Procrastination.
Really?
People just procrastinate. Men do that. I'd hate for a man to be in charge of very many things in life. It won't get done, folks.
No. So was it just a matter of just, you know, forgetting, getting busy, or was it he had a lot of questions?
No,
or
he just wasn't ready.
Just wasn't ready.
He wanted to wait till he got near retirement. He's a year away, so he wants to do it now.
Is that a good idea, or would you recommend something
earlier? I would
do
it a lot sooner because he'll have a lot more money ready for retirement. And you won't have the ups and downs like you have in the stock market. Now, this guy is a 401k and an IRA. So we're going to start with the IRA, make some money there. And then in a year when he gets ready to retire, we should already have it, you know, pretty well lined out.
And then what happens after somebody retires? Money is still growing.
It's still growing. We're still doing it for you. But you're not taking your money out. You're just letting it sit there and grow.
So when they reinvest, say they take the profits from one investment, which is what most of your investors do, right? They reinvest in another policy, or two, or three, or four,
right.
No matter how aggressive they want to get. So they got this, and I know we're oversimplifying this, but they've got a pool of money. You divide that money into spending money and then investing money.
That's right. Now
you've got two piles, and so the spending money is always there for somebody to have access to live on a daily basis.
That's right. We're keeping it either at $100,000 at all times in the bank, or $200,000, whatever they've asked for. And they've already told me what it is they need per year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep 2 years of that in advance the first time. Mm-hmm. So when they retire or they start with me, we may put $200,000 in there where they'll always have an extra year of money. And then we start making them money from there.
So they have access to that money at any time?
At any time. They can just say, Faye, send money.
Okay.
It's their account, remember.
Then the other pile is the investment pile.
That's right.
And so that is where you do all the investing from.
That's exactly right.
So when, say, you've got a pile of $100,000 over here in the investment pile, and you invest some of it, and then you have a profit, where does that profit go? Does it stay in the investment pile?
The profit stays in the investment pile, and we redo it. Just kept redoing it.
What about the daily expenses pile?
Okay, if they need more, we take some of it out of there and put it over there. But if they don't, we're going to let that alone and just keep making money.
So regardless, both piles are making money. There's always plenty in both piles.
Right.
You're managing and making
sure. That's
right.
We're making money in one. The other, we're just keeping it at a solid amount where they'll always have extra money. Emergency money, as I call it.
Yeah. Have you ever had to explain it to somebody, or has somebody explained it to you as in piles?
Well, we know about that.
Beautiful. So this is how the whole plan works out. So as far as planning goes, I know a lot of people have said, and I've heard them say it many, many, many times, is that, oh, geez, I waited too long. I'm 45. I'm 50. I haven't really done a whole lot of planning. It's too late. I might as well just give up.
Well, only give up if you don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
If all you have in the whole wide world is $100,000, you may have to give up or go into an annuity. You can do that.
All right.
But for us, to make you some money, you need more than $100,000. You need $100,000 just to start with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to have other money. We have to know that you have emergency money. We have to know that you've got a 401k or an IRA, or you own your own business, so you have money there. We have to consider all the angles. And unless we do that, we don't know where you are.
So planning for 10 years out is great, but if you don't have enough to make it through tomorrow...
No, forget it.
The ends don't justify the means.
No.
So this is all part of the big process.
It's a big picture. You've got to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
What does your wife do? How much does she make? How much is in her IRA compared to you?
At what point is it, do you tell somebody, I don't know if this is going to work. You've waited too long. You don't have enough assets. It's over.
If they're 80 and they have no assets, you can tell them it's over.
So what does somebody do at that point?
I don't know.
Is there a plan B?
There's no plan B. If you don't have any money, just go home and sit there.
That's
all I can tell them. I don't know what else you can do.
Go home and sit there.
Well, don't spend any money.
Woo! All right. That's the brutal, honest truth from Faye Bagby. All right, so if somebody is, say, in their mid-40s or mid-50s, and they have a few assets here and there, but they don't have enough, they're not accredited, they cannot do the program with the life insurance policies, what would you tell somebody like that?
Well, if they're not accredited and they have $100,000, they could do an annuity. Mm-hmm. An annuity will grow, and the qualifications are a lot less than they are for our program.
Right.
Now, they're still going to make them qualify for the annuity, but it's not as harsh.
So there's still options.
There is options. You can do annuities if you only have $50,000 or $100,000.
All right. So if somebody's sitting there and they're listening and they're saying, oh, geez, you know, I don't have, you know, this. I don't have enough for that. I may be one of those that needs to go home and just sit down. That's not necessarily true. They could actually still go ahead and plan their retirement because, I mean, you want to obviously plan as early as you can, but many people don't because, like you say, we procrastinate.
They procrastinate and they spent money they shouldn't have been spending for the last 15 years. I know what they did.
Yeah.
And now they regret it.
Yeah.
You know, all those boats they bought, all this other stuff. Yeah. It's not going to set them free.
You're like Santa Claus. You see everything.
I do. I know all. See all.
Oh, that's kind of scary and a little bit creepy.
There you go.
All right. So for somebody who wants to get started and then they say, okay, I'm going to start adding up my assets. I make $200,000 a year and I have a truck. What other assets should they be looking at that they may have forgotten about and maybe not included?
Well, we need to look at their 401k. How much do you have in it? How much do you have in savings? How much do you have in ranch equipment, a ranch, your stock, and other things you may have. You may have 6 rent houses. I have a lot of people have rent houses. So if you have rent houses, you have all this other, we need to know.
So rental property counts, 401k
count. Yeah, you have a great income out of all that.
Yeah. All right. So there's a lot of options that people tend to forget about and don't include.
I've had people say, oh, I didn't know I could count my 401, and that's usually your biggest asset.
Yeah.
Other than your house, and you cannot count your house.
Your primary residence.
No, primary residence is out.
What about a second house?
You may count it if it's a vacation home.
Cool. All right. So for someone who wants to get started, what kinds of things should they do right now?
Well, they should look at all their assets, see where they're all at. Bring us a copy of everything when they come.
Okay.
And let's see, map it out.
So it takes a little prep work. People have to know where they are, do their own research. If somebody just wants some basic information and they're not really ready to go ahead and start digging out everything and going through and finding all their old 401ks that they forgot about, if they just want to come in and find out what's happening, can they do that?
Certainly.
Okay. And the phone number to schedule an appointment
is 877-588-3330.
And you have, and I know we're getting towards the end of the year, so what does it look like as far as availability for appointments, time off, things
They've
like that?
They've got another week.
Okay, so there's still a little bit of time, and if not, just take a couple of weeks for the holidays. Maybe this would be a good time to regroup, figure out where all your assets are, figure everything out, and then maybe in January.
That's right.
Might be a good time. Yes. But the point is that you can just go in for information without ready. You don't have to have the check ready to go right now.
No, we don't care anything about a check.
All right. And so one more time, Faye, what's that phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.